Did you know that Game Pass or Pass is brought to you for free because of Spotify for Podcasters? It's a totally free platform, and you can make a podcast today for free. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else that podcasts are heard. And if you think about taking your podcast to the next level with a video podcast, Spotify can help you too. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can also earn money in a variety of ways that includes ads and podcast subscriptions. So what are you waiting for? Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to spotify.com/podcasts to get started right now.
It's now time for a very robotic version of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play games on Microsoft Game Pass service and tell you which games to pass on to your friends and which games to simply pass on by. Just realized I cut off the end of that in the notes there. It just says which games to simply. So there you go. Which games to simply.
Simple.
On this.
Use that.
I am your host, Corey, and I am joined by Basher.
What is the deal, good sirs?
And this week, we're going to be talking about Gato Roboto.
Elmo.
Gato Roboto. But before that, let's talk a little bit about subscribing to this podcast. If you're listening to it, if this is your first episode, welcome. Thank you for joining us. If it's your second episode, why don't you subscribe? What are you doing? What are you doing?
You heard my theory about this already.
You clearly like us, so subscribe to us. We're going to keep playing games. We're going to keep talking about them. We're going to be talking about Gato Roboto. We're going to be talking about Gears Tactics. We're going to be talking about something else.
We got to play
Halo
Gears
Infinite
Tactics.
Eventually. So why not give us a subscribe? We're on every platform you can think of. But now that we got that out of the way, not before. Also, you can send us emails, gpopfans@gmail.com. If you want to talk about Gato Roboto, maybe you hated this game.
Dumb
maybe up. You loved this game. It's got a cat in it, though. How can you? I'm a cat dad, so I love cats. So, gpopfans@gmail.com. Anyways, let's talk about this week's game, which is Gato Roboto. The developer is Doinksoft Software. I think it's just Doinksoft, actually. I think I added the software part. And they are known for Tomb Shaft, which is a roguelike on phones. Have never heard of it. And Gato Roboto. So, it's a very small studio, only responsible for a couple games. Regularly priced at $7.99, is available on Xbox One, Windows Store, Steam, and Nintendo Switch. There's no crossplay because it doesn't matter. There is no DLC at this time, and it is not Xbox One X enhanced for you X owners out there, but it really doesn't matter due to the art style of this game. Gato Roboto. Let's talk about it.
Every time you say Doink, I think of Doink the Clown.
I think everyone does. And then I think about that Super Nintendo WrestleMania arcade game.
Yeah, that was a good business.
Basically Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, that's a good business. I stand by that 100%.
Yeah. I like that game a lot, actually. I never played the Saturn version because the Saturn version had Yokozuna and someone else, I think, like exclusive. And I was so upset when I found that out. But I didn't have a Sega Saturn.
No one's played that because no one has a Sega Saturn.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. That has nothing to do with Gato Roboto, which you play as a cat in a robotic
cat.
Suit.
A kitty cat.
What's not to love?
This is DigiRevolver?
It's published by them, correct.
Right.
So I think we need to set this one up a little bit. So it's kind of a strange sell. It is a 2D Metroidvania. It's not very long, though. I think we both beat it in about, 3 hours?
This is actually a Metroidvania. I mean, like, this is very... by that, I mean, like, it borrows very heavily and it wants to be... Not wants to be, but rather wants to remind you that, hey, you played Metroid before, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yes, I agree with that. But I think one of the more interesting aspects of it is that the art style. And what I say that is because, look, this is a smaller game, so it's going to look how you think it does in terms of it's not high-end graphics or anything like that. But I believe what they're going for, I could be wrong, they're going for the Game Boy art style.
I could see why you'd say that. It's closer to Game Boy than a Nintendo or Super Nintendo, or closer to Nintendo for sure.
Right, yeah. And I say that because the palette of it is basically black and white, but throughout the game you can find different palettes that sort of change it up. But it really only shifts two colors. You know, it's very much like that, which the Game Boy was indeed only two colors. So that's what made me think about that. But for whatever reason, it worked for me. I don't want to say these because that sounds bad, but indie games, they're a dime a dozen, right? Like,
yeah,
everyone's got one now. So it's really hard to stand out in the crowd.
I think we got one now, like coming out soon.
Yeah, we do. It's called Just Another Indie Game. No, that's not true. That sounds like a lot of work.
It should be.
It's called Game Pass. Or I got nothing. It's hard to stand out in this, and the art style kind of reminds me of Minute, which we also played on this show, and that it's going for a thing, you know, it's going for a particular style, and I think this one hits it, at least for me. I don't know what you thought about it though.
I thought, I feel like this is one of those. To answer your question, I feel like the developers said we wanted to make it look like this. They made it look like that. Therefore, they nailed it. Whereas for me, it's like you want it to look like that. It looks like that. And I'm fine with it. Like it doesn't sell me. Doesn't turn me off. It's kind of like, it's an indie game, so of course it's going to look some kind of way. You went with this way and it's fine.
I can see that. I think one thing that sort of, not to brag, the playing this on an OLED TV was kind of interesting because the original palette is very black and white. So the white really stands out against that complete black background. But I think you could lose some of that if you were playing on like a mid-range LED that doesn't have good black levels. But then once you kind of switch to the other palettes, I think it can take care of some of that. But what I also found was that when I was playing it, and like I brought up the dashboard, because I played it on Xbox, my eyes like had to adjust because it was just so used to looking at like the piercing white of the screen. So to me, that told me that like they're doing something right in terms of it popping. I think that the art style, you know, a lot of these games try to sell themselves on the art style. I think the art style could possibly sell you on it, and I think it does its job in that regard.
I agree.
But the main thing of this game is that this is a Metroidvania through and through, and it is a short one, which I actually kind of appreciated. So it's basically broken up into, I would say, four major parts. There's sort of three parts and then a final area. And it does kind of what you think it would. It's got like a double jump. It's got a dash. It's got a mechanic where you go underwater. But it sort of also has puzzle aspects, and where you, as a cat that you play as, you can get in and out of the mech suit. And when you're out of the mech suit, you know, it's kind of like a one-hit kill. But when you're in the mech suit, you're a lot more powerful, obviously. But sometimes you got to get out of the suit to do a puzzle or go down certain pathways that only the cat can fit through. So it definitely plays to the strengths of the genre, and that it's kind of mixing things up and gives you the tools that gives you different tools to sort of interact with the world kind of thing. But what I will say is that it doesn't do anything new in that regard. Like, this is a very much a homage to Metroidvanias, which I think some people will either like or dislike, but I'm not sure.
And that's my biggest issue with it. So I'm going to compare it to a game we played, I think, that was also published by Devolver Digi, The Messenger.
Correct. Which, if you haven't listened to our top 10 episode, you should go do that.
Yes, must play right now. Well, after the podcast, you can pause it. I guess you come back to it. It's a quarantine, you got time. One of the things I love about that game is that it's the fact that it's such an homage to the older generation of video games, but it takes you through a trip where It's like, here's the 8-bit, here's the 16-bit, and oh, whoa, we're still going. It's like, what's going on here? And it's like, they really went beyond just an homage, and they said, let's see what we can do with this idea of creating a classic game in a classic style. Whereas I was honestly playing Gato Roboto, and I'm thinking, like, so when does this turn into not this? Or, and I can't say it's the game's fault. It's really just me being spoiled by the messenger, because I'm just playing through Gato Roboto. I'm just like, okay, this is black and white. I got a new palette swap. So instead of black and white, it's tan. Instead of tan, it's light blue. Instead of light blue, it's gray. And it's like, okay, that's cute, but are you really not doing anything different, though, in terms of the gameplay? Like, is it this strict of an homage? And it kind of is.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like I said, I think the messenger to me was just such a breath of fresh air. And like you said, that it not only was an homage, like it was an homage that it was clearly done by people that not just wanted to make one of those games, but they wanted to experience like that time period kind of thing. Whereas this is just a straight up, like, you like Metroid? Cool. Here you go. You like cats? There's a cat. You like cats in robot suits? Here you go. I'm like, all right, I like cats. Like,
I'm sorry, but that doesn't, maybe I'm just not, I'm not that internet guy, you know. I'm an internet guy that goes to Reddit, and I like looking at, I guess my favorite subreddit would be something like, I don't know,
public,
like,
freakouts.
Right, public freakouts, our cowboys, our nice guys, laugh at those guys, you know, just like weird, like stuff on that weird end of Reddit. I'm not the Redditor that loves our cats. I don't love kitty cats. I find them cute, but I don't find them so cute I need to stare at them a lot or think about them a lot, or find them to be culturally funny in aspects where they shouldn't be. So this game starts off with you with the guy in space. He's going to check. He got a I want to say distress signal.
Something like that.
From sector 42069. Get it? Guys, do you get it? And it's like, right after
the humor does not hit for me.
Right after that, the cat presses the button. Because, of course, he's traveling in space with his pet cat.
Right, of course.
And then the cat accidentally presses something. And then, oh no, we're here now. Kitty, go save the dead. And it's like, guys, the setup's not working for me, but go ahead. Let's see where we go from here.
I guess what I will say is it is not as clever or as cute or as whatever verb you want to use, like the messenger is. And it doesn't really play into the cat thing as much as you think it would. Like, every once in a while, there's like some dialogue from the owner and all that stuff, and you're kind of on this mission, and then they sort of kind of play the same joke over and over, where the cat only meows because it's a cat. And it's just sort of like, oh, can you understand me? Like, you're a cat, though. Like, yeah. And I'm like, okay. But what I will say is that I think if it was any longer, I would have way more issues with it. The fact that it was a tight 3-hour experience, like, that goes a long way for me, because it knows when to quit, if that makes sense. Like, this was a half an hour longer, I think I would have been much more negative on it. But I think the length is just sort of just right, in that, because that final area is much more difficult than the rest of the game. So it's got that perfect sort of balance of each area sort of has its own thing. Like, one's like a hot area, and one area you can't use the suit. And so it's always doing enough to keep the gameplay going, whereas while the story and the cute factor, I don't think work for me as well. I think the initial pitch of it, you're a cat in a robot suit, like, okay, like, that's cool. Like, I want to see that. Like, it's cool that I'm a cat in a robot suit, but the cat jokes and stuff, like you said, I get enough cat memes a day. I don't need them in my video games. At least these aren't good enough to be, you know, in my daily feed or whatever you want to call it.
I will say the game, I will say that said, like, you touched on something earlier where it's like the pacing of this game is spot on. The game isn't, it's short by standard AAA game length standards, but this comes in at a tight maybe couple hours.
Right. Yeah, and there's an achievement for beating it in under an hour.
Yeah, exactly.
So I mean, once you know where everything is, you can zip through this game in literally under an hour. So I think
it's good to zip through, like, honestly, because once you get your bearings and once you get the gameplay down, it's like you're just zipping through, like you get the double jump and whatnot. You're feeling like you get the phase through or dash feature, and it's like you're really moving it, really booking it, and they did a really good job of creating a scenario where essentially you're not getting bored per se.
Right. I see. Yeah. There's just enough going on that you're still intrigued, and then by the end you sort of use all your skills. It's a well crafted game in that by the end you're using all your skills that you've learned throughout the game to sort of get to the end. But I mean, like I said, but you don't learn a lot. You know, like it's only a 3-hour game, so your time from cat in vanilla mech suit to cat in better mech suit is not that different. You know, you get a double jump, you get a dash, like I said. So, yeah, it's a long-winded way to say that I think the pacing is what sort of saved this game. I shouldn't say saved this game. Maybe that's the right term. The pacing is what saved the me from turning it off, kind of thing, from me going from playing it tonight. Because if this was a 5-hour game, no way. Like, just not going to happen. Like, that'd be overly long. There's not enough here to be 5 hours. Whereas there's enough here for a 2 to 3 hour experience kind of thing. So,
it's a gift and a curse, because for me, honestly, when you make a Metroidvania, you don't want it to be short. I mean, like, at least I don't. Like when I think of like the Castlevania, well, not Castlevania, it's called Bloodstained Night, I guess it
Ritual
is.
Ritual of the Night.
Ritual of the Night. The not remake or right. Not sequel. Games like that, games like the actual Metroid, games like the actual Castlevania, any kind of Metroidvania, the joy of it stems from the exploration of it. So getting lost sucks. I'm not trying to say we need more of that in the Metroidvania, but the idea that you have this map that's slowly filling out and you're like, whoa, this goes all the way up there. How do I get there? And you finally get there, and you have to come all the way back down here. And it's like there's a lot of traversal, a lot of movement, a lot of exploration involved. So like that kind of adds to the experience of a Metroidvania. So when you shrink that map to a quarter of the size and make it a zip through, it's like, well, did you have to be a Metroidvania?
And what
do you get from it being a Metroidvania? Like a 45 minute Metroidvania to me is like kind of, for lack of a better phrase, a wasting genre.
I don't know. I agree, but I don't, because at the same time, like, I think that might be for me just because there's so many of these out here nowadays.
Right.
That the Pathfinder genre it's not easy to get right. And like you said, a lot of it comes down to exploration. But what I will say, I mean, like you said, the most frustrating moments of a Pathfinder game is when the main quest, you can't figure out where to go.
Right.
And this game doesn't have that problem, but that's also because it's smaller. Like, it, if you genuinely got lost, you could get through the whole map in 10 minutes. So it's just like, well, I got to go somewhere. Like, so it's kind of both. Like, it's a good thing that it's small, because it doesn't fall into some of those traps that a Metroidvania can, but then it also doesn't have the depth that some of it can. So, like, there are hidden things here. You know, there are certain areas that you can't get to the first time. Like, you have to sort of have a different ability. You have to have the double jump, whatever it is. But it's not ever going to do the thing where it's like, well, you have to come up from, you have to go to this room from the screen above somehow. And those are kind of the most perplexing tricks, or whatever you call them, puzzles in the Pathfinder genre, is when you see a room, but you don't know how to get to it. And it turns out you have to sort of either tackle it in a way that you didn't think. And the best ones of these games do that in a way to where they give you clues and they sort of paint it in the world, right, that how to get there. And the bad ones don't. The bad ones just don't tell you. They give you nothing. It's just like, there's a room here, figure it out.
That's Castlevania 2. Go to Arto, right, left, nail at a wall for like 45 seconds with a whistle or something. Like,
right,
yeah, you wouldn't know that. But that's kind of the issue I'm kind of having with Gato Roboto, is there's so many things that lends itself to being a Pathfinder Metroidvania game that I just now noticed through Gato Roboto that when you shorten it up, you kind of lose, because you want to, because again, exploration is one part, but tied into the exploration is the fusion suit, the bat upgrade, like those abilities that you get that completely change the way you traverse the map, completely change the way you get through an area. You don't really have time for that here. You don't have time for a lot of things here that's brought to a Pathfinder Metroidvania type of game, because you're zipping right through it and you're done in an hour 45, 2 hours or less if you know where you're going. And it's like, there needed to be more upgrades, more suits, more abilities, a morph ball, something that just said that kind of wowed you for just a moment.
Yeah, I think, like, in my head, like, the easiest way to describe this is, like, it's almost like a beginner's Pathfinder game. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it doesn't, the pathfinding part of it is not very difficult, and yeah, that's tough. Like, I see where you're coming from, but for me, I just feel like the alternative is worse, if that makes sense. Like, the alternative is if it tried to do those things and was a swing and a miss. Like, I feel like that's the worst outcome.
You're not wrong at all. It's just, right, a matter of, for me, is like in a way, I'm kind of glad I went through this, because whenever I played a Metroidvania Pathfinder game that attempted to be one of those and swung and missed, as you said, like, part of me thought, like, well, just make it smaller, like, just make it simpler, just make it,
right,
more compact. And then I get it. I'm just like, oh,
no, maybe not.
I feel like you kind of need those, like, those little aspects of it, because you miss a lot of the role playing aspect, the you miss a lot of the exploration aspect of it. For me anyway, it's kind of like you zip through it and you're done so quickly. It's like, what did I do it for? Was it for the cats? Was it for the cat memes?
Maybe. Do it for the vine. That's what.
Okay.
About dated.
Okay, Gramps. All right, got,
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do it for the TikTok. How is that not a? How is that not a thing? Do it for the TikTok.
You don't want to do it for the TikTok, dude. That's just Did they pick up my phone following? Jesus. All right.
All that said, I think we got to ask the question: Game Pass or pass?
This is one of the tough ones, because for me, I don't like, so What I like about this podcast, I think I said this before, is this is not a ranking podcast. It's not a scale podcast. It's not an out of 10, out of 5, whatever. It's really comes down to, is this something you should spend your time on? And is it something worth having on Game Pass? For me, this is one of those games where it falls in the category of not being bad. In fact, it might be good. I would argue that it's good. The issue is there's not enough meat on the bones here. If you have an interest in Pathfinder games, there's enough of them out for you to get through, play, and figure out what you like, what you don't like. To your point earlier, this definitely feels like a beginner's Pathfinder game. And I realized you don't get much out of that, I don't think. You don't like that that struggle of where do I go from here is almost necessary to a degree. It's like an adventure game where you're stuck in a room, you have all the pieces, but you have to put the puzzle together still. There's no real the puzzle solving here is benign at times. You zip through it and you're done before you know it. To that end, is it worth passing? Is it worth saying you need to play this? I'm going to say, sadly, no.
So, I agree, but I also don't. So, I think, like, if I had to really sit down and think about how the games that I've played throughout my life, Metroidvanias or Pathfinder games, whatever you want to call them, are probably the genre that I've played and enjoyed. That's tough. Those are the games that when they hit for me, they hit super hard.
Right.
And I latch on to them.
Like a Yoku's Island.
Exactly. When they pull it off, it's so hard to pull it off in a way that speaks to me that it's a feat for me personally when they hit hard. And for this one, I think that the length is the key here, and that as someone who's played a lot of these games, I can suggest it on the fact that like it does enough of the genre that I'm not mad at it. Like I'm not, even though it does a lot good, and it sort of misses some of the overarching super strengths of the genre, it's not trying to be that. So I think it took the aspects that it needed to sort of cram it into a 3-hour adventure. And for that reason, I would say like, yeah, like even if going into it, even knowing that like this isn't going to be a Super Metroid, like this isn't going to be a Yoku's Island Express, you're not going to fall in love with it. But if you like the genre, it's a nice little distraction. And there's enough there that, even though the backtracking isn't going to take you hours and hours, it's only going to be, you can backtrack through the whole game and get everything you missed in 20 and 30 minutes. And sometimes that's a good thing. And for that reason, I would say play it.
See, I'm going to disagree with you on this because I just don't, because I mean, I agree with the thought process and the reasoning. I just don't agree with the idea. If you're going to give me a Pathfinder game to play, I would want the Pathfinder experience. And I understand that they wanted to give the Pathfinder light experience here. This is not the Pathfinder light experience is just not. Maybe in this case, maybe overall, I'm not sure yet, honestly, but I don't think it's worth it. Especially when we're on a platform here that has Yoku's Island on it. So it's like, I don't think the first timer's Pathfinder is worth your time. That's not to say it's a bad game. It's just simply not something you should tell your friends about.
But then I think about Super Lucky's Tale, and
don't ever think about Super Lucky's
Tale. Like, I think about that game, And I think about like that, that's a game that that was a swing and a miss, right? Like,
right.
That was the game that was trying to be your child's first 3D adventure game, you know? And it's not good. Like, it's not good at even that. It's not even good at being your child's first one. Whereas, like, I feel like this is, even though it's not trying to be more than it is, which could be a detriment, it still at least gets it right. Like, this could have gone much worse.
I completely agree with that. I feel like not to sound like a mean guy.
Do you have cat allergy? Is that what it is?
I actually do love cats. It's the only animal that I actually enjoy. I hate all animals. Like, literally, I hate every single animal on earth.
So,
all
right. I'm gonna close because
let me just finish this real quick. Not to sound like a mean guy to you, but it's almost like saying like, you didn't mess it up, so you deserve to win. It's like, you didn't mess it up, but you didn't knock it out the park either. So I feel like I could pass on you on that.
I'll concede under the fact that while I did enjoy it, I think that the humor is a big swing and a miss for me. I think there is a little bit of writing in this game, and I don't think it's good. So there's not even that aspect that I could recommend of just like, even if you're like, you're not super into it, it's funny. Like, you'll laugh a couple times, whereas, you know, like something in the Messenger, where the Messenger, like, even if you're not a huge Metroidvania fan, it's genuinely funny. Like, there's some really funny things in that game. The music is fantastic. Like, it's got so many other things going for it. Whereas this one, I can't get behind that aspect that it's got other things going for it. If that makes sense.
If it had phenomenal music at the very least,
Yoku,
or even like what do you call it? I just forgot the name of that. Your favorite game, Willow Waff Waff of the Willow.
What are you talking about?
Wait, with the white bunny rabbit that can fly.
I have no idea what you're a white.
I'm not drinking any more during podcasts. I'm done.
A white bunny that can fly.
What is the name of this game? This is ridiculous.
Is it a Metroidvania?
Kind of. You know what I'm talking about. Ori and the Blind Forest.
Oh, what are you talking about?
What about the music? It had music.
Oh,
like
the
music.
Okay. Yes. Got it.
I'm going.
Clearly. So I will concede on this one and say, as much as I like it, I can concede that it's not phenomenal all around. So we're going to say for Gato Roboto, you are cute, you are cuddly, but we're going to have to pass you on by. Sorry. It hurts. My cat's looking at me. She knows. She knows what I just did.
She's going to kill you in your sleep. You know that, right?
No, she's in love with me. Legitimately. It's kind of weird. She tries to make out with me. Cat's tongues are rough, man. So, no, she sleeps in my arms like a baby. It's adorable, but also concerning. So, but all right, that's going to do it. This episode went longer than I thought it was going to. So next week, we're going to be playing Gears Tactics, as that is a day one Game Pass release. So you can look forward to that. And then the week after that, we'll be playing Streets of Rage 4, as that is also a day one Game Pass release. So good mix up here. We got a lot of different genres going on. So we had what did we play last week already? I already forgot.
We played
The Search 2. Yes. So, yeah, we got a Souls-like, we got a mini Metroidvania, we got a tactical tactical isometric Gears of War simulation tactical game. That's going to be interesting. And then after that, we've got an old school beat 'em up. So that's when Game Pass works best, I feel like. You got all these different genres coming together for one low price. That's not like an advertisement. They do not sponsor this podcast yet.
Yet. And when they do, everything is great. Pass on to a buddy.
Play everything.
Buy Gears of War, even though it's not Game Pass. Just buy it anyway.
Exactly. Just give them more money. Xbox Series X, buy two of them.
I can't wait to sell out. You don't understand.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode. You can email us at gpopfans@gmail.com. Give us a subscription if you haven't yet. We would really appreciate it. Leave us a review if you can. It really helps out to get our numbers up and to get exposed to other places. That's going to do it for this episode. We will see you next week with Gears Tactics.
Good day, sirs.
I almost ended the call instead of stopped the recording.